The title of this message that God gave me is Power with Authority. Power with Authority.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, we truly would wait as long as it took. God, we worship Your holy name. We worship Your holy throne. We worship You with everything that is within us. God, we thank You that we're able to come into this house and sing praise and worship to You. And God, we thank You that You inhabit our praises, Lord. That You come and minister to us while we worship You. And Lord, as we read Your Word, Your powerful, living Word, God, I just ask that we would hear directly from Your throne, that You would be magnified, glorified, and exalted in this house. And Lord, we ask it, expecting it, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Did any of you guys hear about the smartest man in the world? Any of you? On social media? Lisa heard about it. So there's I think he's a scientist from South Korea. He has the highest IQ in the world. It's like 276. It's at least 3 points higher than what I got when I took the test. But he is literally the smartest man right now on earth. And he just proclaimed that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I thought, well, he must be the smartest man on earth. But how wonderful that God gifted him with that and he acknowledged who he got it from. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. And when I saw that, I mean, it just touched my heart and I wanted to share that with you guys today. So today's message that the Lord gave me, He had given me one word, as He often does. And I was like, okay, we got it, you know, like whatever you say. And one word. And as I sat down yesterday and I went to the scriptures that I was thinking of, it was a different word. And I was like, well, that's something. I was like, so I misheard? And he was like, no, it's both words. And I was like, fair enough. I was like, just tell me what you want me to write down and then I'll tell him on Sunday. So that's what we're going to do. But it was just, it's always awesome when the Lord reveals something to you, when He shows you something and it's become so plain and simple because He is just so sweet to us in the way that He describes and He shows us His Word. So I want to start, before I tell you the title, we have three verses. And the first one you can go to, or Rick can throw it up here, Psalm 62:11. And this could pretty much the summation of this entire word. So I could just quit after this, but I won't. It's a Psalm of David, and we're just going to look at this one verse, Psalm 62:11. David said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, the power belongs unto God. That's it. Power belongs unto God. Who does power belong unto? That's it. That is the entire message. God possesses power. It's His. We just sang about it. He is a mighty God. But God possesses power. Matthew 28:18. The Great Commission. We've heard this before. Jesus is speaking to His disciples as before He ascends back up into heaven. And Jesus came and He spake unto them and He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's the King James Version. But I asked Rick if he could also put the NIV up there. I want to look at it also. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, Rick, this morning, blew my mind. I think he's right up there with that scientist from South Korea. He said, how would you like it if I put both verses, on the screen simultaneously. I was like, Rick, do it. So Rick put the King James in the NIV. And it says that Jesus came and he spoke to them. And in the King James, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And in the NIV, it says all authority, which was the word I was looking for, in heaven and earth has been given to me. One more. Romans chapter 13. We're just going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. So the powers that be are ordained of God. There is no one in power that God is not allowed to be there. You know why? Because God possesses all power. So whoever is in power, God has allowed to be there. Read your Bible. He puts kings, he takes down kings. He puts rulers, God allows it. And so in verse 2 it goes on and says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now we know that the powers that be, if they go against God's word, we're not to do that. But God has allowed powers, right? Well, let's look at what the NIV says. It says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Guess what? Rick can put both of those on the screen at the same time. It's unbelievable. The King James says powers. The NIV says authorities. They're two different words with different meanings. The title of this message that God gave me is Power with Authority. Power with authority. Because when we think of power, the Greek word is dunamis, right? Pastor Jerry has preached about that from Acts 1:8. It's dynamite. It is supernatural. It is the power or ability to do something. Whereas authority is exousia. Exousia, as the guy on my phone says. Exousia. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. It is the right to command. It's not the power to do it. It's the right. It's the authority. For instance, Kathy gets a new big screen TV. Say she gets an 85-inch TV from Sam's. Right? Yeah. It's a big one. Kathy's going all out. They're on sale. I saw them the other day. It's like $600 for an 85-inch TV. They're practically giving them away. So if I go to Kathy's and I pick up this TV because I have the power to lift the box and I take it, but I don't have the authority, the right to take it, what's going to happen? Kathy is calling the police. Adversely, if Kathy says, Aaron, I have this 85-inch TV, it's too big, I want you to have it, and I go and I can't lift it because the box is too heavy and too big, I'm in a bad way. So power without authority is useless. And authority without power is useless. But the God that we serve has dunamis exousia. The God that we serve has power with his authority. He has authority with his power. So whatever he wants to do, he can do. Whatever he can do, he has the right to do. We serve a God that holds both power and authority. He doesn't hold one or the other. He holds both. He is a mighty God, and he reigns, right? Like one without the other isn't any good. Just because I can do something with my power, but I don't have the authority, it's useless. Well, guess what? We serve a God that has power with authority. That should give you peace that passes all understanding. Because the God that asks you, commands you, guides you to do something has the power to get it done and the right and authority to ask you to do it. We serve an almighty God. And we need to live our lives that way. That He has all power and authority. So when I was reading those, I was like, God, you kept saying authority. He said, yes, I am the authority with all the power. And I said, praise God, I will preach that. God's power has authority and His authority has power. And I want to look at some scriptures that talk about His power and His authority. Let's go to the Old Testament to Job 38. Now Job's been through it up to this point. Things have not gone great with Job. And the Lord is going to answer Job. And I often read this and I think, I'm glad it was Job and not me. But I also look at it and read it as He is talking to me. And that I should know who He is and who I am. And that He has all power and authority. And I don't. And we're not going to read all of it, but in chapter 38, we'll start in verse 4. And you can consider that this is God asking you, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. So any of you that were there when God laid the foundations of the earth, you now have the floor. I also didn't have an answer. Verse 5, who's laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and I break up for it my decreed place, and I set bars and doors. And I said hitherto, this far you can come, but no further. And here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days, and caused the day springs to know his place? No. Nope. God did. Because he holds all power and authority. And if you jump over to chapter 41, he talks about Leviathan. Leviathan is referenced in the Old Testament in Job, in Psalms, and in Isaiah. And the Hebrew word for it is a dragon. And it's referenced as a mighty, mighty creature. And God says, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Or his tongue with a cord which you let down? Can you put a hook into his nose? Or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto you? Will he speak soft words unto you? Will he make a covenant with you? Or will you take him for a servant forever? Will you play with him as if with a bird? Or will you bind him for your maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with barbed irons or his head with fish spears? Lay your hand upon him, remember the battle and do no more. He says, behold, the hope of him is in vain. You cannot do that. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? Verse 10, none is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Because he can do all those things. He said, who has prevented me that I would repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. Do you think God was letting Job know and letting us know who holds all power and authority? It is him. He is a mighty, mighty God. Amen. Psalm 29. It's a psalm of David, and it's 11 verses, and we'll read the whole thing. And as I read these psalms that David wrote, I think this is a man after God's heart. This is a man that reverenced the Almighty God with his being and with everything that was within him. He says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that's due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then he starts describing the Lord's voice. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the calf and discovereth the forest. And in his temple thus everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The voice of the Lord is powerful. He was the one that in the beginning said, let there be light, and light appeared immediately. Daniel chapter 2. I go to Daniel a lot because the Lord tells me to. And I love the stories of Daniel in the lion's den and of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. But prior to any of that happening, prior to either of those events, in Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he called his magicians, his astrologers, his sorcerers, and all the wise men. And he said, I had a terrible dream last night. He said, I want you to interpret it. And they said, no problem. What's the dream? And he said, I can't remember. And they said, well, if you remember it, we'll tell you what it means. Well, that made him mad. He said, don't you have powers? Well, guess what? They didn't. They had fake powers. They had imitating powers, but they didn't have almighty powers. So they could not know the dream. So Nebuchadnezzar said, fine, you're all going to die. So they go to gather them all together, including the wise men, Daniel and his companions. And they said, you're all dying. Daniel's like, why are we dying? And the guy that's in charge, Arioch, says, well, the wise man can't tell King Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamed about last night. Daniel said, well, hang on. Before we die, give me a minute. And that's where we take this up. Daniel went into his house. And he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these four who are about to go through something later are going through something right now. They're about to be put to death for the first time after they've been captured and brought into bondage. But now they're being killed because these other guys couldn't tell King Nebuchadnezzar what he had dreamed. So, verse 18, he told them, and that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows would not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. So guess what Daniel did? Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. So I thank Thee, I praise Thee, O God of my fathers, who's given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For You have now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and he said this unto him. He said, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will show unto you and to the king the interpretation. And guess what he did? Because there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets to his people, because he has all power and authority. So when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came up to the fiery furnace, they were like, listen, we've been threatened with death before. We know what our God can do. When Daniel came to the lion's den, he was like, whatever. He was like, do what you need to do. I serve the God of heaven. I serve the God with all power and authority. God prepared them to stand up. Because in this instance, they had no choice but to seek God. And God came through, because that's what God does. We serve the God with all power and authority. Let's see if it changed in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 9. I'm telling you guys, if you're not reading the Old Testament, read the Old Testament. It is so... it's just as good as the New Testament. It really is. It's just outstanding to see the might and power of Almighty God. But in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus, fully God and fully man, is on earth. And in verse 1, he entered into a ship, he passed over, and he came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick, he said, son, be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, well, this man blasphemes. Now Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier for me to say, your sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has power. And it says at the bottom of my text that authority, because he had both. He had power to heal and the authority as the Son of God to say, arise, to say, your sins be forgiven you. He said that you would know that I have power on earth to forgive sins. And then he said to the sick, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. They could not deny his power because they saw the miracle, but they denied his authority as the Son of God. What are you going to say? We saw him healed. But you can't say that because you're not the Son of God. When they crucified him, they'd all seen his miracles, but they would not acknowledge his authority. Well, he has power with authority. Mark chapter 1, verse 21 is where we'll start. Up until that point, Mark says how Jesus came and he was baptized by John the Baptist. And he starts going around and he sees Simon and he tells him to follow him. And he sees James and John, the son of Zebedee, and he says, he sees them fishing and he says, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And he gets right to business in verse 21. He went into Capernaum and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, leave us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know you, who you are, the Holy One of God. Even the demons know his power and authority. Jesus rebuked him and he said, hold your peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." He had the authority as God and the power to do everything that he said. Jump over to Mark 4. With power and authority, he healed the man. With power and authority, he cast out the demon. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 36, he had finished preaching. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, they woke him. They said, "Master, do you not care that we're going to die?" He arose, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey his power and authority?" He had all power and all authority, and he still does. John chapter 19. The people that have seen Jesus do miracle and heal people and have heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead and have seen all of the power that Jesus had, we're going to crucify him because they would not accept his authority. So they bring him. When the chief priests in verse 6 and the officers saw him, they cried out saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Now Pilate said unto them, "You take him. You crucify him. I don't find any fault in him." And the Jews answered, "We have a law that by our law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." They didn't say he did miracles. They didn't say he healed on the Sabbath. They said he claimed to be God. They were killing him for his authority. They were killing him. They had seen. They'd witnessed. But they wouldn't acknowledge his authority. Verse 8, when Pilate heard that saying, he was even more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall, and he said unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 53:7, where it said he wouldn't open his mouth. Now look what Pilate says to him in verse 10. He said, "Speak thou not unto me?" He said, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you and have the power to release you?" He didn't know who he was talking to. He was telling Jesus of his power. He said, "Don't you know what power I have?" Jesus answered him. He said, "You could have no power at all against me, except it were given you from above. Therefore, that he that delivered me unto you has the greater sin." He said, "You could have no power unless I allowed you to have this position for this time." Jesus' life wasn't taken. It was laid down. Jesus was never overpowered. Jesus sacrificed his life so that we could live. He said, "You don't have any power." So what did Jesus do? He gave his life for eternity. He gave his life so that we could spend eternity with him. He took our sin to Calvary, nailed it upon that cross, was in that grave for 3 days, and then walked out. King of kings and Lord of lords. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul speaks of what it means for Jesus to be alive. He says, "Death, where's your sting? Well, grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Think about it. They know He was crucified, but He walked out of the grave. Death has no power. Jesus has power. The grave has no victory. Jesus has victory. So as we walk and as we're persecuted, what are they going to do to you? You going to kill us? That didn't work out so well with Jesus. And He lives within us. We have no fear. That's how we're steadfast and unmovable. How do you think those 12 disciples went with the Holy Ghost in them and spread the gospel and all were murdered? Because they would not say that He wasn't alive. They were like, you know what? He said He was going to do it, and He did it. We've seen Him. What can you do to us? You can't even kill Him. We'll die. Kill us. We're not going against what we saw. That's how we need to live. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? I'm going to live for eternity with my Maker, my Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. He walked out of that tomb, and He is alive forevermore. He says it, Revelation 1:18. I'll ask Rick to throw this up here. As he's telling John, he's like, I am He that lives, the one that was dead. But behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. It's over. It's finished. He is the victorious, risen King. And He has called us and infilled us with His Holy Spirit. He has all power and authority. And I finished right here. And I said, God, I said, that's awesome. I said, what's the call for us? Just to acknowledge it? That is fine. And He said, I have a little more. So it's just a very little more. But I said, God, what do we do knowing that You hold all power and authority? He said, Proverbs chapter 3. There's multiple things in these three texts, but if I could tell you three, it's going to be trust, follow, and submit. And this is where we get the trust. He says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, they'll add to you. He goes, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And right here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Come on. You don't have power and authority. He does. He says in every single one of your ways, acknowledge Him. And He's going to direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust Him with everything that's in you. Acknowledge Him and He'll direct you. Fear Him and depart from evil. Because He does have all power and authority. Luke chapter 9. This is the follow. Jesus says, in verse 23, and He said to all of them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross once. Right? Just that one time. Take up his cross daily, every single day, and follow me. Follow him by keeping his commandments. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Lay down all your self-interests and follow him. And you'll gain your life. It makes no sense to us on earth to give up to win. But that's what we do. When we question God, it's because we think we have power and authority. We don't. Go read Job. We have none. He has it. So if you want to follow Him, lay your life down. Lay your desires down to Him every single day. And lastly, submit. James chapter 4. James says in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Submit to God. Trust Him with all your heart. Follow Him every single day and submit to God. And if you draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto you. He has all power and authority. The sooner you give it to Him and acknowledge that He has it, the way better off you're going to be. Fighting against it is a losing battle. You acknowledging that He has it is not the second that He gets it. He has it. It's the second your life gets easier. It's the second that He opens up things that you never thought were possible. He'll be with you in all of your trials and tribulations, which will come. But be of good cheer, because He has overcome. And how do we do that? How do we trust, follow, and submit Him? It's hard in our own. But right, Acts 1:8. We know what it says, and we know what He told the disciples. He said, you're going to receive power. It's that dunamis power. You're going to receive power. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And you're going to be witnesses unto Me. At the call center at the credit union. With a young married couple. With your neighbor. With your co-workers. With everyone that you see. You're going to become a witness for Him through the Holy Ghost. That power that is within you, stop denying it. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge that He has all power and authority. Acknowledge that He lives within you, that He is the risen King, and that you are saved by grace, by the cross, and are victorious. Our power is in prayer. Our power is through this Word. Our power is through His Holy Spirit. He has all power and authority, and He's given it to us through Him. You know, I'm going to close with this. I pray throughout the day so many different times. I pray as soon as I wake up. I pray when I'm exercising. And one of the prayers I say during a 2-minute exercise is solely an acknowledgement of Him. I simply do it to remind myself who has all power and authority. And it's not scripted, and it's different every time, but I start within the beginning that God spoke and creation believed. And then I go and I say, you're the one that called Abraham. You're the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You're the God that talked to Moses out of the Red Sea or out of the burning bush and then split the Red Sea. You're the one that told Moses to tell him that you are the I Am. You're the one that helped Noah build the ark. You're the one that saved Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. You're the one that came to earth as Jesus of Nazareth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by You. You are the risen King. You are the King on the throne. You are seated at the right hand, making intercessory prayer for us. You are the Holy Ghost within us. You are the God that's coming back for Your church. You are the God that has fire in His eyes and a sword proceeding out of Your mouth that is the Word of God. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are forevermore. And guess what? I can face my day knowing that. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge You. We acknowledge Your power. We acknowledge Your authority. And we acknowledge that You are the only God. You are the only true King. And God, as You've called Your church today to acknowledge Your power, to acknowledge Your authority, Lord, I ask that we would trust you, follow you, submit to you, and operate in the power, the dunamis power of the Holy Ghost. God, I ask that we would be witnesses. And Lord, we heard testimonies this morning that we are being witnesses, that we are going to tell everyone we see of the power of God. God, we're going to tell them that you are the risen King and that you are still saving souls. So God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus on everyone that hears this, that they would have a new boldness, a boldness that comes out of the reverence of knowing that you hold all power and authority. And I ask it in Jesus' mighty name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.